Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening until 10 o'clock. How are you doing? Glad you're hanging with us this evening here on Camo X. And listen, I got a lot of stuff to cover, but I got to pick up where Matt Pauly left off at the end of last hour. If you were listening at the end of the last hour, Sports Open Line host Matt Pauly was talking about somebody came up to him at Busch Stadium and asked him how much he weighed. And he was very kind. You know, you're already getting to know Matt Pauly, and he's obviously he's a gentle guy, he's a knowledgeable guy, he's a passionate guy about sports and about baseball. But he just kind of fluffed off the question when some dude came up to him and said, "How much do you weigh?" And I told him as he was leaving the studio, I said, Matt, you are a lot kinder than I am. I would have said something like, if somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, Brad, how much do you weigh?" I would have said something like, "A lot less than your wife," or something like that. Because if you're going to insult me, man, it's going both ways. So he was very kind and gentle about that. So hats off to Matt Pauly and his kindness to strangers. I'll tell you what, you're no stranger. If you're listening to Camo X, you know exactly what we're going to be doing tonight. 436-7900, that's 314-436-7900. Phone lines, unless we're in an interview, phone lines are always open. There's nothing I like better than getting phone calls from listeners. And also, at any point, you've heard this as well. You can download the Odyssey app if you haven't already done so, and you can listen to Camo X at any time. You can listen to podcasts. You can hit rewind and hear the show if you miss something while you're getting out of your car. Whatever it takes, you can download Odyssey app and get the news of the day plus all your favorite shows on Camo X. So make sure that you do that. Also, of course, you know about the lottery. And I'm going to bring on Matt Pajeski here, board operator extraordinaire. Matt, do you typically play the lottery?
Never. I get some scratchers and a stocking at Christmas from my parents, but that's about it.
Well, we're going to be talking about the lottery as the show unfolds tonight because there's a lot here to unpack. But is there a specific reason why you don't play the lottery? I mean, is there like a philosophical or a moral disagreement with the concept?
No.
You just don't think it's worth your money? What's the rationale?
I don't think
there?
It's worth the time to walk into a gas station and buy a scratcher. Of course, I would say that, and then, you know, the winning ticket would be at the Fenton gas station right outside my house, and, you know, I would miss out on it. But, no, I've never had the interest of walking and buy one, though.
Well, I don't buy lottery tickets because – to me, it's a voluntary tax. I mean, one of my top 10 goals in life is to pay all the legal tax I owe, but not a penny more. And to me, I mean, the lottery is a voluntary tax. You're going in and giving them $20 or whatever it is you're going to do to pay for the buy a lottery ticket. You're not going to win. And so you're voluntarily paying more in taxes. And I just keep thinking, why would you do that?
Yeah.
So to me, it's a philosophical disagreement, an aversion, if you will, to paying more in taxes than I have to pay. I don't have to hand over that $20, so I don't do it. In fact, I tell folks, if you want to enjoy that $20 more, just light it on fire. And you can watch it burn, and you'll get more enjoyment than you would out of losing the lottery because you're not going to win the $1 billion.
Right.
But as the show unfolds, we're going to talk about I'm going to break down the dollars and cents for you about what it actually means to you monetarily. And I'm also going to talk about, because everyone knows that the odds of winning the lottery are extraordinary. You're just not going to win. So I want to talk about some of the things that you have more of a statistical likelihood of doing, more so than winning the lottery. And we've also got, we've got lots of news in the day, or news of the day about cats. Yeah, we're going to talk about cats tonight, and I'm going to try not to get in trouble, because anytime I talk about pets, I'm crazy about dogs. I love them. But I've said some unsavory things about cats in the past, and I've gotten some negative feedback. So I won't be castigating cats too much tonight when it comes to that story. But also, there's some Supreme Court issues in the news. We've all heard about the Supreme Court issues with regard to the major decisions that we've had. But we're going to talk about the reaction on Capitol Hill to some of those decisions. That and more on Camo X tonight. So stick around. We'll be back after this break on 1120 Camo X.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to At Your Service here on Camo X. And, of course, phone lines are open, 314-436-7900. And Greg Damon, you know that name. Greg Damon, host of the Camo X Auto Show, NASCAR expert. Hey, Greg, great to talk to you, my friend.
How you doing, Brad? I got to tell you, first of all, I got to tell you, I was driving down the road, and when you were talking about the guy asking Matt Pauly how much he weighed, I actually literally spit up my drink. And as your response, it was so funny, made my evening. So thank you.
Oh, well, I'm glad I could make your evening, but hopefully I didn't make you wreck your car.
That would be bad.
You know, you're the car expert, and here you are driving down the highway, spitting up while you're driving. Uh-huh. Dude, that's bad for your reputation.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm just an average Joe. That's all it is. So it made me laugh, but it caught me at the right time.
Oh, good. Glad I could make you laugh. It was worth all that you paid to hear it.
Oh, my gosh. It was well worth the price of admission.
Perfect. So I wanted to ask you, though, I was chatting with Matt Pajeski about the lottery. If you won the lottery, and I'm going to talk about this later in the show as well, but if you won the lottery, my friend, how would you handle it?
Well, you know, it's funny. My wife and I, we just play Saturday night Powerball. That's all we play. But we don't spend a lot of money on it. But, you know, those couple dollar tickets that we buy, we have more fun talking about the what if than anything mm-hmm. else. You know, especially during COVID, when things weren't going on very much, it was a lot of fun to sit around and just talk about the what if.
Well, there is a lot of fun in that. But if you only play Powerball, of course, the big lottery is Mega Millions. You going to like cross over and buy one of those?
Well, maybe sometimes. I guess. I don't know.
So you're saying that the $1 billion lottery jackpot isn't big enough for you? So you're not going to cross over? I'm not going to mess with that. It's only $1 billion.
Come on. You know me. Go big or go home.
Go big or go home.
That's my credo. But I'm not gonna spend all my hard earned money on the lottery. We play it just to have fun. And that's the whole thing. I mean I see people walking in, as Matt said, going to the gas station. You know, you walk in and they got a couple hundred bucks sitting there in scratchers tickets and the play tickets as well. And so I'm not knocking it, but it's just not my thing.
No, I understand. But you know what? You're doing it exactly right, which is for $2, I mean, you can get a lot of fun out of $2. by playing the lottery. So, no, I'm not knocking it. I'm glad that it's here. I mean, I think it's a great idea to generate revenue. I just choose not to do it, but I don't knock the idea that it's there. A lot of that money goes to schools and so forth. So it goes to a good cause.
It's supposed to.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You know how it works, don't you, Greg? Because whenever in Jeff City or in every state capital, they say, okay, well, 100% of this money goes to schools. And while that's true, what they don't tell you is that they then drain the school budget funds and
Correct.
Use it for general purpose revenue. And then they can still say 100% of the lottery revenues are going to the schools, but the net benefit to the schools is zero.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, as long as we understand that's how the game is played, then you're having a lot of fun for $2.
Exactly. That's, you know, it's just something that we talk about and we involve our kids talking about it, too. Like, hey, you know, what's the first thing you do? What's the first thing you'd buy? What would you do? You know, so
that's it. Well, hey, thanks for calling in this evening. Glad you were listening.
Hey, thanks a lot. Great show, as always.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Well, that's all right. I don't know if you recognize this music behind me. Does it sound familiar? Well, hopefully it will, because this is the Jetsons theme song. Now, I'm a little too young to have really listened to the Jetsons. Or watched the Jetsons. It was on in the 60s. I wasn't born until the late 60s. So I watched it in reruns in the 70s. But chances are you're hearing this theme song and remembering when you were watching the Jetsons in the 1960s. Why am I bringing this up? Well, my wife pointed this out to me today. And when I ran the numbers, it's exactly right. The cartoon, the Jetsons cartoon, it was set in the year 2062. But in the cartoon, according to the show, George Jetson was 40 years old and he was born in August. So if you back up 40 years from 2062, that means George Jetson's going to be born next month. Now, if you watch the Jetsons, you're thinking, wow, we are not living in the Jetsons era. We're just not. But here's the thing that I did, and I looked into this since George Jetson will be born next month. I went and looked at some of the things that were in the Jetsons TV show that actually exist today. Because when you watch that show, you think we're not in the Jetsons era. We're not there technologically. But in a lot of ways we are, because one of the main features of that show were video calls. Well, who doesn't have a video? Everybody's got a video, can make video calls now. I mean, everybody. It's called Zoom. All right. We can all do it. FaceTime. We all make these. I have to do conference calls at my law firm all the time on video. And I have to keep a spare blue button-down shirt and a blazer in my office, because someone may just call up and, you know, you don't want your lawyer doing a video call and he's wearing a shirt that says, I'm with stupid. Okay, you don't want that from your attorney. So I can throw on the nice shirt, throw on the blazer, and I'm looking good for the video call. But we all do conference calls over Zoom these days. Robot vacuums. They were all the time in the Jetsons. Well, we got Roomba and they're not very expensive anymore. So there's two things. How about tablet computers? Jane was always using this tablet that if you Google the picture, it looks almost exactly like an iPad. It really does. And this show was in 1962. Flying cars. Well, we do have flying cars. Now, we're not driving them yet. And when eventually flying cars become commonplace, I'm telling you, that's going to be a big boost to the legal industry right there. There's going to be crashes all over the place, and it'll be the Lawyers Full Employment Act when that happens. But they had flying. We do have flying cars today, although they're not yet mainstream. So I'll put that a work in progress. But smartwatches, George Jetson had that video thing on his watch. Well, everybody's got that now. Everybody's got that, or not everybody, but lots of people do. Drones. Elroy was flying a drone-like toy in a lot of those episodes, and we got drones now. Heck, we got drones from Amazon that are going to be delivering your packages. And if you've seen, I saw a special on those drones at Amazon. They're called the Stork, which I think is kind of funny because they're delivering to your house, okay? So they are kind of storkish. But when they... And I'm trying to keep it clean here, but when they're dropping those packages on your lawn, it looks like you got to go out with a great big baggie. Okay, so it doesn't look very nice when they're dropping those packages. But there's holograms that were on the Jetsons. We've got those. There was something called the pill cam. Whenever George Jetson was sick, and they would go to the doctor, and they give him a pill, and the camera would show what's on the inside. We've got that. We've got that now. If you have some intestinal blockage, you can take a pill. It's got a Bluetooth or Wi-Fi enabled camera built into the pill, and it can take a picture and shoot video of your intestinal tract. Now, that's something you really want to see while you're eating dinner. That's a great video to watch at mealtime with the kids. Jetpacks. We've had jetpacks for a long time. James Bond. Was Sean Connery flew in a jetpack in one of the James Bond movies. So we've got that. And every episode of the Jetsons had flat screen TVs. And we all have. In fact, at my house, I've had to throw out. We recycled them, of course. But they were the non-flat screen monitors that I would use for my computers. And we just recycle them in electronics recycling. We don't want them anymore because everybody's got flat screen, right? So we see all of those things that the Jetsons predicted. We've already got all those things. But there are a few things that we don't have yet. A couple of the things that were in there, the smart fridge that actually restocked itself. Now, I would like that. When I opened the refrigerator and it's all stocked full. Well, I was looking at a futurist, an article in, it was about what's yet to come by the year 2050. And there were a list of things that tech prophets, if you will, are predicting that we'll have by the year 2050, which would be about 12 years short of when the Jetsons actually took place. And refrigerators that restock their own shelves, that was part of the prediction that we're going to have. Now, that would be good, but, you know, sometimes if you're watching your weight, you don't want the refrigerator to restock itself. I'm sorry. Sometimes when the refrigerator isn't packed full, I'm actually happy, so I don't have to eat all that. But there's a couple of other things. Windows that tint automatically in the sunshine. Now, I've seen that technology demonstrated, but wouldn't that be cool? You could have clear windows, and when the sun shines, it automatically tints in order to keep the sunlight out, keep the temperatures in your house cool, and you could turn it off in the winter when you actually want the sunlight to come in and heat your house. That would be good. Flying cars, again, eventually I know we're going to have flying cars. Now, this is what I really want, and I know this is going to sound shallow, but every year at Christmas or at my wife's birthday, if I wrap her gift, then she asks me if I just went up to a random four-year-old and asked them to wrap it for me. And, of course, because I can't wrap. I just can't fold. I can't wrap. It looks terrible. It looks awful. So then I got the bright idea. Hey, I could have my administrative assistant at my law firm. I could have her do the wrapping. But then I got in trouble for asking my administrative assistant to do non-work-related activities like wrapping the presents for my wife. So then, I'm always thinking like a chess player. So my next move was, okay, so I asked my administrative assistant. I said, are you right-handed or left-handed? She said, right-handed. I said, okay. I want you to wrap this gift with your left hand, and I want you to make it look better than a four-year-old would wrap it, but not as good as you normally do. And so she did that once, And when I presented the gift to my wife, she said, "You had your administrative assistant wrap this and you told her to do it poorly, didn't you?" I'm like, I'm busted. So I can't win on that. So one of these things that the futurists predict is a machine that will perfectly wrap anything you put into it. My goodness, that's what I want. I don't care what it costs. I'll buy one of those because then I won't have to deal with that issue anymore. And lastly, I know we got to go to a break here, but the last thing that futurists claim, and this doesn't apply to me, but they're claiming we're going to have this by 2050. And it's a foolproof pill that will cure a hangover. Now, that doesn't appeal to me, but some folks it might appeal to have a hangover pill cure. But is that really something that we want as a society? I mean, isn't the fear of having a hangover, at least to some extent, a way to administer or to measure how much you drink? Keep you from drinking too much? You don't want to get a hangover? If there's a pill to cure that, it seems like at that point all restraint has been cast aside. Maybe that's not the case. But the other issue is chocolate that doesn't melt. And I'm thinking, don't we have that already now? They're called M&Ms. They don't melt. They don't melt in your hand, just in your mouth. That's what they say. So we've already got that. We don't have to wait till 2050. You can go to Walgreens right now and buy all the M&Ms you want. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the Heritage Foundation. And actually, we're going to talk to Matthew Dickerson at the Heritage Foundation, because today, Senator Joe Manchin announced a deal with Chuck Schumer about passing a bill, the Build Back Better scaled down version. But is it really going to deliver what has been promised? We're going to talk with Matthew Dickerson about that from the Heritage Foundation right after this. At your service, KMOX. As I mentioned before the break, it was big news. It was all over the news today that Senator Chuck Schumer reached this deal with Senator Joe Manchin on a scaled-down version of the so-called Build Back Better bill. And Senator Manchin said that this scaled-down bill would actually reduce inflation and reduce the deficit. But when I heard him say that, I thought, I don't think that's true. And so joining us this evening to break all of this down is Matthew Dickerson. He's the director of the Center for Federal Budget at the Heritage Foundation. Matthew, hey, thanks so much for joining us this evening on KMOX St. Louis.
Thank you so much for having me on.
You wrote an article in the DailySignal.com today, and I read the Daily Signal every single day. And you state this, and I'm quoting, "After more than a year of expressing his concerns about the impact on inflation, Senator Joe Manchin has signed off on a massive tax and spending bill that only would push prices for working families even higher," unquote. Now, in economics 101, inflation occurs when there's too much money chasing too few goods and services. So, Matthew, how will this bill make inflation worse?
You're absolutely right. And I'll fact check some of your lead in. This is not a slim down, build back better package. This is the whole kit and caboodle. This is massive tax increases on employers, on the American people. This is buckets of hundreds of billions of dollars in new spending. And that new spending is going to pump more money into the economy. And the new taxes are going to make it harder for investments. That means it's going to be fewer goods and services. Over the 10 years, the bill will reduce the deficits because it's got massive tax increases. But all the spending's front-loaded and all the tax increases are back-loaded. So what does that mean? More government deficits, more Federal Reserve pumping money into the economy in the short term, and that's just only going to drive our 9.1% inflation even higher and hurt us in our current recession.
Yeah, and that's an old Washington trick, isn't it, Matthew, that whenever you have a bill that's claimed to be a deficit reduction bill, The increase in government spending always happens now, and the alleged deficit reduction occurs years and years down the road, if at all. And by the time it doesn't materialize, we've already forgotten about it and moved on to something else.
That's exactly right. And this bill is filled with those types of gimmicks, too, right? They say they want to expand Obamacare, subsidies, but they only want to do it for 3 years, right? Not the full 10 years and make those subsidies permanent. So where are we going to be in 3 years? They're going to come back and they're going to want to increase Obamacare subsidies. And what is that going to cost taxpayers? Another $150 billion that's not included in the scoring of this bill.
And if anyone doubts how government spending impacts inflation, Matthew, what is the relationship between our current 9.1% inflation rate and all of the COVID-related government spending that we've seen over the past 2 or 3 years?
Well, your listeners are seeing it when they go to the grocery store. They're seeing it when they go to the gas pump, right? They're seeing it with Joe Biden's "I did that" sticker, right?
I actually saw one of those. I saw one of those for the first time about 2 weeks ago on a pump, and I laughed out loud when I saw it. I've read about it, but I thought it was like Bigfoot. I never really saw it, but I actually saw one, so they are out there.
That's absolutely true, and it's Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion spending bill last year that was really the match that lit the inflationary fire. During COVID, the government spent about $4 trillion. Biden's spending bill added another $2 trillion. It wasn't needed. It was purely wasteful, and it exploded the amount of money in the economy. At the same time, Biden was coming into office, declared the war on energy, started issuing regulations left and right, tearing up the good work that the Trump administration did to hold back the regulatory state. And so what does that mean? That's the classic recipe for inflation.
Yeah, it is. And speaking of inflation, and we're talking to Matthew Dickerson. He's the director of the Center for Federal Budget at the Heritage Foundation. One of the elements of this bill will be to impose a minimum 15% tax rate on certain large corporations. Now, Democrats in Washington always howl about the corporate tax rate. But Matthew, if this bill raises the tax rate for many corporations, how will that increase impact the price for goods and services that we all pay?
Yeah, and so what they want to do, they want to create a new alternative tax system that's separate from the normal tax system. And they say if you're not turning a profit, you're reinvesting in your business, we want to reevaluate your tax system and look under your books and try to take away deductions for investment that really matter and are really, really important to reduce the double taxation of investment on businesses. We want to charge you a minimum tax rate. This is the Warren Buffett tax, but for businesses. But when you increase taxes on businesses, what is that actually going to do? Well, they're going to raise prices. They're going to cut wages.
Exactly.
And your retirement accounts are going to get smaller because profits are going to be lower over time.
So ultimately, we pay by increasing taxes on corporations. The net effect of that, Matthew, is just that we, in effect, pay those taxes, don't we?
That's right. The corporations, they're going to pass that on, right? Think about it. People are the only things that can pay taxes, right? You're the only thing that ultimately ends up with the money. And so you're going to see less business investment. That means fewer jobs. That means fewer stuff. That means fewer goods and services. At the same time, we've got the Green New Deal included in this big spending bill, pumping another $400 billion into green energy subsidies. So that's more money out in the economy, more inflation.
Right. And we could do a whole nother show on all of this money going to green energy, baloney technology stuff is really going to ultimately hurt us in the long run. But I know that's a whole nother topic. We're talking to Matthew Dickerson at the Heritage Foundation, and Senator Manchin has agreed to support this new proposal. But doesn't this contradict his earlier statements related to increasing taxes during a time of recession?
That's right. 2022, Joe Biden should go back in time and talk to 2010 Joe Biden because...
You mean Joe Manchin?
Oh, yeah, Joe Manchin, excuse me. He said, quote, "I don't think that at a time of recession you mess with any of the taxes or increase any taxes." In 2010, Joe Manchin was totally correct because obviously when you increase taxes, you're hurting the economy.
We are. And I wish he would go back in time and listen to himself. Hey, last question, Matthew. This bill, it's not going to get any support from Republicans in the Senate. But what is the procedural gimmick that the Senate Democrats are using to try to get this bill passed?
They're going through the budget reconciliation process, and that's a way for spending and tax legislation to go through the Senate with just 50 votes, with just 51 votes, 50 votes plus the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can go. That's the same procedure that Republicans use to cut taxes for people. Democrats are here using it to hike taxes on the American people and pump out more government spending.
Wow, that's exactly what's going to happen here. And Matthew Dickerson, I know that you're the director of the Center for Federal Budget at the Heritage Foundation. If folks want to read what you write on these budget issues, because they can be complicated, and you have a knack for breaking this down. Economics can make people's eyes roll in the back of their heads, but you explain it in a way that folks can understand it. How can people follow what you write on these subjects?
I appreciate that. Check us out on the homepage at heritage.org, heritage.org. We've got a short overview of this bill on the homepage right now. We're going to have a longer analysis coming out tomorrow morning.
Excellent. Hey, Matthew, thanks so much for joining us this evening on KMOX.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
Great to talk to you. And if you doubt this idea that government spending causes inflation, let me give you a really quick example so you can shut down your liberal friends on this topic in 30 seconds or less. And here it is. You can write this down and you don't even have to pay me for it. It's free of charge. But here's how it works. Monopoly is my favorite game. I love playing Monopoly, and no one will play Monopoly with me because I typically win. I mean, not every time, but when we play it at my house, it's everybody gangs up on Brad. That's how it works. But if you play Monopoly, you know how it works. But let's say, for example, right when the game starts, and you know how you buy properties, and once the properties are purchased, you have to buy them from somebody else, or you have to trade for them. That's the part of the game that I love. Well, imagine if at that part of the game, when all the properties are gone, and the only way that you get it is by buying it from somebody else. At that point in the game, if you give everyone in the game an extra $10,000, what does that do to the price of Boardwalk? What does that do to the price of the Reading Railroad? It raises it, right? It increases the price. If you could buy Boardwalk or Park Place, and you could buy them for $500, but now everybody's got more money, then the price goes up. That's inflation. More dollars chasing the same amount of goods and services. That is how government spending impacts inflation. Hey, we're going to take a break. What do you think about this topic? What do you think about the bill? Do you think Congress should pass this? Is this a good idea? Or do you agree with me that this is just more government spending, more money going to failed green energy policies instead of them being directed by economic necessity and the private sector instead of being forced on us by the government? 314-436-7900 at your service. We'll be right back. At your service here on KMOX. And you know what I always like to say? That means we like to hear from you. We've got some callers lined up, but there's always room for you. 314-436-7900. Call or text. We're talking about the so-called Build Back Better bill. Don't say it too quickly. And is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Does it cause inflation? Does government cause inflation? All of those topics are on the table. Hey, Mac, thanks for calling in this morning calling in this evening on KMOX.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
But I do have to say that either you're not too bright about economics or you're a lying GOP shill. I hate to put it that way, but it's just absurd because the government spends money mainly on defense and giving corporate welfare. And I know you realize that, but you're apparently not going to say it because you have your own reasons.
Well, okay, this is what we call a discussion, so let me respond. First of all, the defense budget is about $750 billion, and yet we've spent trillions, with a T, trillions of dollars, on COVID relief. So right there, I've defeated that part of your argument. Secondly, with regard to government bailouts, this Build Back Better bill that Manchin and Schumer have agreed to contains enormous corporate welfare. And that's something that you and I can agree with. The government should not be giving welfare payments to corporations. That's bad for business. It's bad for economics. It's bad for consumers. It's bad for everyone. So on that point, you and I are in complete agreement.
Well, it's surprising because, I mean, that's what the GOP is all about, unfortunately.
Who brought up the GOP? I'm not arguing on behalf of the GOP.
Well,
I never do.
That's a Republican-based argument for the last, 50 years.
But we're not talking about a Republican-based argument, Mac. I'm talking about my opinion, which is exactly in concert with you, which is corporate welfare is bad.
Well, I applaud you for saying that. I don't know if you mean it, but
I do. That's the libertarian. I'm far more of a libertarian than I am a Republican. But
well, again, a libertarian is just a cop out. I mean, pick a side.
No, it's not.
Don't call me a libertarian.
I just exactly told you a huge difference between liberal libertarianism and Republicans, and you dismissed the point when I gave you a concrete example.
Okay, well, we agree on one object.
There you go. See, we're in agreement. You won't be able to sleep tonight knowing that you agree with, I think, as you called it, a GOP shill or someone of less intelligence. But you agree with me. So, what does that say about you, Mac?
It says I'm right on point, I believe.
I'm neither a GOP shill, nor am I a person of low intelligence. So I've already defeated both of your arguments. Next argument.
I appreciate that. And, if the government, would quit spending money on defense as much as we do, and I know for a fact because I've been involved in the military and involved in, defense manufacturing for a number of years. I mean, it's primarily a waste. We can defend this country by spending less than half of what we do. We spend more than every other country in the world combined.
So you're in favor then of Russia taking over Ukraine? That's a hard position to defend, Mac.
That's how you twist things.
Now, I'm not twisting anything. If you're for less defense spending, then we can't send high Mars rockets to Ukraine. That's making a huge difference in beating back the illegal, immoral, and unethical Russian invasion of another country. And you're against that. So apparently you're in favor of Russia taking over Ukraine.
Not at all. We're spending a few hundred million dollars there. That's nothing compared to the defense budget.
Oh, we're spending billions of dollars. We're spending billions of dollars right now in Ukraine. In fact, the last bill that the Biden administration signed, one bill alone was in excess of $800 million. So we're sending billions of dollars to Ukraine. And I think rightfully so. But you're against that?
Not at all. I didn't say
good.
That.
Okay. Yes, because defense spending is also primarily one of the largest sectors of defense spending is paying for our personnel. So would you be in favor of paying our armed services less money?
Yeah.
You would.
So
people who are risking their lives for the government.
Admirals and generals aren't risking their lives. These officers make too much money. I was a Sergeant E5. Okay.
Well, hey, Mac, we're coming up on a hard break, my friend.
Right.
We don't have any choice on this. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate your voice. I love having discussions with folks just like you. In fact, in the next hour, we're going to talk about what happened. Speaking of money, what would you do if you won the lottery? What would you do with it? I'm going to break down the numbers, talk about the odds, but I'd like to hear how you would spend your lottery winnings. Brad Young at your service on KMOX. We'll be back right after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.